piece. I gotta catch up. Okay, Vayera Alav Hashem Be'elone Mamre. Hashem appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. You'll see how creative, how unbelievably creative, and how deep the eyes of the Derech and Ephraim are. I was gonna say were, but they are. They're still in the world. Let's see. Perish Rashi Levakir Esachol. How does our parsha begin? Kodesh Baruch Hu came to Avram, appears to Avram. What's he doing? Levakir Esachol Eba. Hashem came to check on Avram as he's healing from his bris mila. So where do you see that in the pasuk? Vayera I love Hashem be'elon emamer. What does it say anything about Hashem coming to do bikur cholim? Which part of those words say bikur cholim? How did Rashi know? How did Chazal know? So says the Derech Machaneh Ephraim. What do you mean? It's hinted to right there in the pasuk. You don't see it? All right, I'll teach you how to see it. He says, "Ki yud hu aleph." Yud is an aleph. Yud is an aleph. How is yud an aleph? Ki aleph nechteves lamala yud uve emtza vav ulamata dalit. How do you spell the letter yud? Yud, Vav, Dalet. How do you draw the letter Aleph? Every letter, Hebrew letters, are made up of other letters. So we usually think of an Aleph as a Yud, right? And then a Vav, and then a Yud. But it's actually a shtickel machlokas how to draw it. There are different ksavim. Right? There's ksav Arizal, ksav Beis Yosef, there's ksav the Baal Tanya. There's slight nuances in terms of how to draw letters, right? Or how to interpret letters. So one way to understand the shape of the letter Aleph is that the top part, right? The top part of the Aleph is a Yud. The middle section of the Aleph is a Vav. And then the bottom part is a Dalet, an upside down Dalet. Can you picture it? Can you see it? Do you have a letter Aleph on the page in front of you to look at? To...
Where does the Dalet come from?
What'd you say?
Where does the Dalet come from? You turn upside down.
Meaning the leg of the Aleph. Okay, you want to draw it out for us?
I mean, I'm trying to...
Try to draw it.
The little dollar is what...
It's a tiny one.
It's a
stretch.
It's a... Yeah. No, you do. It's a little...
The bottom of the office is like a stand.
There. It's a terrible picture, but it's something like this. So this is your yud, and this is your vav, and this is your like an upside down dalet. Upside down. I mean, maybe I drew it backwards. But you see what I'm saying?
No.
It actually has a longer. I mean, the top part of the aleph, the yud, has a much shorter leg. The bottom upside down yud or dalet has a longer leg. So that's why he says that an aleph is made up of a yud of an aleph is made up of a yud and a vav and a dalet. Okay, so if that's true, says the Derech Machaneh Ephraim, that means Aleph and Yud are interchangeable. Because the letter Aleph is made up of a Yud and a Vav and a Dalet. Okay, so that itself is an interesting rule to be aware of. So again, Ki Yud hu Aleph, a Yud is an Aleph. Ki Aleph nechteves lamale, Yud, because the Aleph, the top part of the Aleph, is the letter Yud. The middle part, the Emtza, is the Vav. And the bottom part of the Aleph is a Dalet. So Yud, right? The Aleph is made up of Yud, Vav, Dalet, which spells Yud. So Aleph and Yud become interchangeable. Uhu, Osios, Yud. So therefore, if that's true, he says, so therefore, Nimtza that Elone, Aleph, Lamed, Nun, and Yud, Hashem appeared to Avram in Elone, Mamre, so Aleph, Lamed, Nun, and Yud could also be what? Aleph, Lamed, Nun, and an Aleph, right? Yud can become Aleph. So instead of Elone with a Yud, it could become Aleph, Lamed, Nun, Aleph. Well, what is that? Hu Osios Kel Na. Kel Na. What is Kel Na? Who said Kel Na? Moshe Rabbeinu said, God, please. Please what? Kel Na Rafa. God, please heal. When did Moshe say, God, please heal? When Miriam had Saras. So look, Elone Mamre, so he says, Elone is Kelna. What is Mamre? The gematria of Mamre is Resh Pei Aleph, Rifa. So Elone Mamre, read through the eyes of Pnimius, is Kelna Rifa, a tefillah for healing. Vizesh Amra Kasav Vayera Elav Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham, right? We see Elon Emamre, the name of a location. The Degel Machan Ephraim sees Bekel Narafa. Hashem appeared to Avraham in response to, please Hashem heal. Hainu Ba'osa Bechina Shal Rafua Haya Hari'iyah. Hashem's appearance to Avraham was an appearance of healing. In other words, like Rashi says, Lavakar Asachola. The Gemara tells us that when we do Bikur Cholim, it brings healing to the person who's sick. It takes away 1/60th of their illness. So Bikur Cholim is synonymous with healing. And Hashem's appearance, when God appears to you, that itself is healing. O Kamaimer Chazal, Ba'osa Re'iya Nisrape. The Chazal say that when Hashem appears, through His appearing, a person is healed. Whenever we have a direct encounter with Hashem, that itself is healing. Ki ba'or p'nei melech chayim, because in the face or in the countenance of Hashem is life. Right? An encounter with the King of Kings automatically brings life. That's why at Har Sinai the Jewish people were healed from blemishes, physical blemishes, in addition to spiritual blemishes. It's the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu starts off his life as a person who's not a good spokesman, who has an actual speech impediment, and then it says what? Moshe becomes the spokesman. Right? It's a medrash at the beginning of Devarim. Eila hadvarim. These are the words that Moshe spoke. Oh, when did Moshe get so good at speaking? The answer is through his encounter with God and through his encounter with Torah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in written form, a person is healed. Okay? So hinted to in Vayera Eilav Hashem, Hashem's appearing to Avraham is an expression of Eilo Neimamre, or said differently, Kel Na Rafa. It's the response to the hope that Avraham should have a Rafua, and that's exactly what Hashem did. Yeah.
Very similar to in Vodazara Gemara Bet and Vada, where it says that the Chama is supposed to rock the Tzadikim.
Right.
So that's literally
very
what
good. So let's see this next piece, because that mushal is going to become very very relevant to his next piece. Yeah.
So in case of Miriam, that's saying like Moshe's darling that she should be healed.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of saying like the same thing, saying that that's proof that Hashem. Oh, because you're saying it's proof that Hashem came to visit him because we say visiting is healing.
Visiting equals healing. Vayera Elav Hashem, God appearing to you, is in and of itself a healing experience. And where do we see healing in the Pasuk? Where do we see Bikur Cholim in the Pasuk? It's Merumas in the words Elonei Mamre. Again, we wouldn't have found that on our own, but that's why we're blessed to have a Rebbe like the Degel Machan Ephraim. Okay? Let's keep going. This next piece is going to be the main piece that we work on. Oye Amr Letaritz Kushya Sa'ur HaChayim. The Rechayim HaKadosh wonders, Lama Nishtana Kan Mi Bechol Makom. Why is the Pasuk written differently here than we find elsewhere? Shehikdim Kan Haroe Lahanira. Why does it mention the Roe before the Nira? What does that mean? Look how the Pasuk is written. Vayera Elav Hashem. Appeared to him was Hashem. Hayaroi Lomar, why doesn't the Pasuk Vayera Hashem Elav? The more normal way to write it is that God appeared to him. Not appeared to him was God. Vayera Elav Hashem. It should be Vayera Hashem Elav. You hear? That's the more traditional way we find in the Torah. Right? Not Hashem, not spoke to Moshe, did Hashem do, right? It's Hashem spoke to Moshe. Hashem appeared to Avraham. So why over here does it say, to Avraham appeared Hashem? That's the Rechaim HaKadosh's question. V'yesh lomar, so perhaps we can explain, ki yadua shah avos alayim ha-shalom, heim tiknu kol echad mashapagam adam arishon be'et hadas tov v'raha. The avos HaKadoshim, starting from Avraham, began to work on fixing the pagam of adam arishon by the et hadas. That's what the Avos are here to do. The Avos are here to fix, to be metakein, the chait, eitz, hadas, tovera. Va'avram avinu olav ha-shalom haya harishon le-tikun zeh. And Avram was the first one to begin this process of tikun. Rabotai, what is the gematria of eitz, hadas? What's the gematria of eitz, hadas? Regular. How much is eitz? How much is 8? 90 plus 70 is how much? 160. And how much is hadas? Hada'at? 479. So what's 160 and 479?
Is 639.
639, good. What's the gematria of Avram? 638. No, Avram's 248. What's the gematria of Avram? No cheating, man. Behave yourself. What's the gematria of Avram? 248. How much is Yitzchak? 208. How much is Yaakov? 182. How much is Avram plus Yitzchak plus Yaakov?
696.
No. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov is 638. But they work together, right? They're, you have to kolel them together. So Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov plus the kolel is 639. So Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov is gematria eitz hadas. So that's exactly what he's saying here. That the avos are the ones who are metaking the eitz hadas. That's why the gematria of the names of the avos is gematria eitz hadas. And Avram is the first one to begin that process. So now we can answer perhaps Or HaChaim's question. Why is it Vayera Elov? Why doesn't it say Vayera Hashem Elov? Why is it Vayera Elov? Why put an emphasis on the Elov? Hashem appeared to him. Right? Why emphasize the him? The him being Avram Avinu. Explains the Dagal, because Vayera Elov Daika. It was Dafka Avram Avinu who was Zocha to have Hashem reappear, so to speak. Meaning, Adam HaRishon in the Chere Tzadas was driven away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem was distant from, right, to the point that Adam is hiding in the garden. He's moving further away, emotionally, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the reappearance, so to speak, of Hashem comes through the Tikkun Eitz Hadas. Who's the one to lead the way? Who's the first one that Hashem appears to him? Sort of a rectification of the Chere Tzadas, it's Avram. Shehu haya tikon le'etz hadas, that Avram was the one who began the process of fixing that Chorban that came about through the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Vizehu shenisrov v'nisgala elav Hashem be'elone mamre. What does it mean, elone mamre? Elone, he says, is osios ilan, the tree. And mamre, what does mamre mean? Moshe says to B'nai Yisrael, mamrim ha'yisem. As Hashem, you're rebelling against Hashem. So Elone Mamre means the tree of rebellion, the Ilan of Mamre. Hainu ba'osu Ilan she'Adam Rishon haya Mamre bo tzivo Hashem Yisbach, the tree that Adam used to rebel against the command of his Creator. That very same tree, so to speak, tiken Avraham zeh she'nishapech me'ra l'tov. Avraham took that tree and he converted it from what? From ra to tov. He was able to, so to speak, rectify the Chet Eitz Hadas. And now, the Degamach and Ephraim write something very, very deep and very lemaisa. Va'adaraba. Misham nigla elav elokim. More than that, it's not just that Avram Avinu was able to what? To identify Tov and Ra. Meaning the Chet Eitz Hadas, Tov and Ra, is a blurring of Tov and Ra. To live in a world where we don't have a moral clarity of what's right and what's wrong. That you could have terrorists shooting rockets into a, you know, at civilians in a nice, normal, healthy country of Jewish people, right? And yet the Jews are the oppressors. And the IDF started it. We started it because we killed a terrorist. So we started it. Meshuga. It's crazy. I mentioned in Shul Friday night, Rav Nissen Alpert, the Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he has a sefer called Lamudei Nisan. So he writes in Parsha Shlach that when Yehoshua gets the name Yehoshua, he goes from being Hoshea ben Nun to Yehoshua. Right? So he got a yud. Where did he get the yud from? The Medrash says he got it from Sarai. So he says, what's the connection between Sarai, Sarah, and Yehoshua? What do they have to do with each other? Why Dafka was Sarai's yud given to Hoshea ben Nun, that he became Yehoshua? So Nissen Alpert says something over there in Parsha Shlach, but I mentioned it Friday night because of what was happening in Eretz Yisrael this past week, and also because it totally relates to this past week's Parsha. Who is the first one to realize Yishmael is no good? And sometimes you have to put Yishmael in their place. Sarah. Sarah said Yishmael is a bad influence on Yitzchak. Get Yishmael out of the house. Right? Sarah had that moral clarity to recognize that Yishmael is not is not okay. We can't allow Yishmael to just hang around. If you let Yishmael hang around, they're gonna drag us down. They're gonna harm us physically, spiritually. So it was Sarah's clarity to get rid of Yishmael that Yehoshua is going to need when he comes to Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua is going to lead Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So Yehoshua needs to borrow some of the strength of Sarai to know how to deal with Yishmael when you come to Eretz Yisrael. And this in Alperet says what was true then is still very much true today. We saw it mamash with our own eyes this past week. So the tikkun of Eitz Hadas Tovra is first and foremost to be able to say, hold on a second, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? Right? Who's the oppressor? Who's the evil one? That's Aleph of Tikkun Chet Eitz Hadas Tovra. But more than that, says the Degel Machan Ephraim, more than just being able to identify this is Tov and this is Ra, Ki hu tikein mashagarim adam rishon shenis arvu tovera. Not only did Avram Avinu fix the this arvu, the mixing of tovera, the confusion and the blurring of the lines of tovera, vitzarach lahafrish hatov min hara, to be able to distinguish and to separate the tov from the ra, ulahasir hara v'lasoso tov. But additionally, Avram had the ability to what? To extract the ra. And not just to be doiched, not just to kick Yishmael out of the house. The end of the story by Yishmael, the person, is that Yishmael was actually chozer b'tshuva at the end of his life. And it was Avram Avinu's efforts to first separate the ra from the tov, but then to work with the ra to be mahapich the ra into tov. You hear the difference? Not just to say, this is good and we grab onto it, this is bad, throw it out. But to take the ra and to work with it and to make it into something good. Again, it's one thing to be able to say, you know, this Talmud is ready to learn, so I'm going to put a lot of effort into him. But this Talmud, he's not serious. He's dragging the shear down, so I kick him out of the shear. Right? That's an easy way to separate, the good guys from the bad guys. Right? But a good Rebbe says the student who's causing trouble in shear, right, or the kid who's not behaving at home, that's the kid has a lot of energy, a lot of potential, a lot of kochos. It's difficult to deal. I don't want that child to have a negative influence on the more innocent children in the home. But I want to work with that child to help that child to transform his negative traits into positive traits. And that's what Avram Avinu did. Not only to separate the good from the bad, but to be able to work with the bad and to make it into good. And look how he says the pshat in the pasuk. Kamo shekosev sur meira lahasir hara mehara shabo va'asei tov hainu la'asoso tov. That is a very deep teaching. However, how do we usually translate Sor Meira Va'ase Tov? Sor Meira, go away from bad things, right? Distance yourself from them. Va'ase Tov, and attach yourself to good things. But the deeper pshat that he's teaching us here, and we'll see it a few times throughout the Sefer, right, is what? Is Sor Meira, separate the Ra from its evil, teach the Ra that it shouldn't label itself as bad, Va'ase Tov, and teach it how to be good. I once met a high school student who said, everyone always told me I was bad. My teachers told me I was bad. My parents told me I was bad. Everyone told me I was bad. So I became bad. So I told this person, I said, you have to first and foremost believe that what? Sor meira, distance yourself from that belief that you are ra. V'asei tov, and you'll see that not only are you not bad, you're actually very good. Right? But you bought into a narrative that you're a bad kid, so you became a bad kid. So Sur Meirab means remove that stigma of bad being bad, because everything Hashem does is good. So remove the perception of bad, and what? Va'asei tov, and teach it how to be good. You hear? My worst midos can be used in a positive way. Again, the simple way to deal with it is just to destroy it, you know? If I'm like a person who has a lot of energy and it gets me into trouble, so I try to stop being so energetic. That's not the goal. It was to take that drive that you're using to do averos and turn that drive into something positive. Redirect it, rechannel it towards something holy. Yeah?
So like in show, like when we did the show, people say like Menashe needs to leave behind, get rid of bad requirements, be free.
Right. There you go. Menashe and Ephraim, right. The first thing I have to categorize is to say on the surface this is good and this is bad, right? This is Yitzhak, this is Yishmael. But then after I do that, once I've protected Yitzchak, now I have to work with Yishmael to help Yishmael become good. I have to help the bad to stop being bad. L'hasir ha'rasha me'harasha bo. To remove the bad from itself and make it into good. V'zeu shetikin Avram v'nasa tov, and that's what Avram did. Avram was able to transform the chet of Adam Rishon into something good, and therefore vayera elav Hashem, dafka elav. Right? What he's emphasizing is that it was Avram Avinu who began this process of tikkun, and therefore the Torah is emphasizing it was him who was worthy of Hashem's revelation, because Avram began a process which would be continued by the Avos to get us back to get the world back to where it's supposed to be. Okay? Yeah.
Also, I've heard this about Esav and Yaakov, that when Yitzchak chooses to, love
right.
Esav more, that he kind of knew already that Esav was, in a different direction, or
right.
maybe he was more, Olam Hazeh instead of Olam Haba. And so what he was trying to do is channel that to become
correct.
More like Yaakov.
Correct. There were supposed to be four Avos. Avram and Yaakov were more similar, and Yitzchak and Esav were more similar. But Esav, unfortunately, didn't know how to use that midah of Gvura, which was his father's midah, Yitzchak. He used it outwardly instead of inwardly. He channeled it towards murder and abuse instead of channeling it towards that inner strength that his father was the embodiment of.
The Gemara in Shalom.
Yeah, what?
If you have,
right.
For blood, then,
that's right. If you have a netiyah towards blood, so learn how to use that drive for blood in a holy way. Become a shochet, become a moel, become a doctor, but don't become a murderer. And Esav became a murderer. He didn't know how to use the koach in the right way. Okay?
David HaMelech
also had a streak of ma'adim, of redness to him. Yeah. That's absolutely right. But he learned how to channel it in a very holy way. Okay? All right, let's keep going. Oye Amr Letaretz Kushas Or HaChaim. Perhaps we could say another answer to the Or HaChaim. So again, so we've learned so far, number one, we learned the remez to how it's hinted to in the Pasuk that Hashem was doing Bikur Cholim. Amazing remez in the Pasuk. We learned how Avram Avinu is the one who begins the process of Tikkun Eitz Hadas, which means not only establishing the lines between good and evil, but actually working with negativity to mahapich it into something good. Let me just clarify that point. Maybe I didn't say it clear enough. The Gemara says that the difference between Avraham and David HaMelech, as we mentioned in the past, is that while David HaMelech killed his Yetzer Hara, as the Pasuk says, Libi Chalal Bekirbi, I made still my heart within me, meaning I quieted down the Yetzer Hara in my life. By Avraham, it says that Avraham transformed his Yetzer Hara into an additional Yetzer Tov. Right? Avraham had two Yetzer Tovs. Just thinking, what's 2 times Yetzer Tov? I don't have a remez, I'm just thinking. How much is Yetzer? Yetzer is 300 and Tov is 317. Oh, that's cool. Yetzer Tov is Mafter Avram Avinu? That's cool. Is that right? Oh, that's awesome. 317. No? Nani. It's good? Yetzer Tov? That's awesome. I never knew that. Yetzer Tov is Mafter Avram Avinu. Wow. That's so nice. Yetzer Tov is Gematria 317 is Gematria Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu took, not only did he have Yetzer Tov, but he took his Yetzer Hara and made it into an additional Yetzer Tov. I don't think I'd ever do that. That's really nice. So that's exactly what this means. Vayere Lav Hashem. Hashem appears to Avram Avinu because he has the ability to be Sur Meira V'Ase Tov, to make the Ra into something Tov. Oh, I gotta remember that. I don't have a little piece of paper I can borrow. Oh, no, hold on. I have a scrap. No, I'm good. Okay. I'm not sure what 2 times Yetzer Tov is. What does that mean?
It's four off from Avram Yitzchak
Yaakov. I'm not doing 4 offs today. I'm sorry for doing off by 4. Off by 1 we can work with. Off by 4 is a little. I mean, you could say, the 4 words, Yetzer Tov, right? The 4 words. Okay, I don't know. Oh, yeah, Amr Letaritz Kushis, or Achayim. Maybe we could say another Pshat. Maybe the Torah wrote Vayera Elav Hashem to teach a deep idea. Now, look at this. This is a beautiful Yesod. Sometimes a tzaddik, and now chaver, this is all of us. Ame kulam tzaddikim. You can do this. Okay, maybe not on the level he's describing, but all of us can do this. When we find ourselves in an uncomfortable conversation that we have to be a part of, and we can't extract ourselves from it, we could try to hear Hashem's voice coming through that conversation. You'll be sitting in your office one day, stuck in some annoying meeting, right? And you, the conversation is just, you know, you're thinking to yourself, I could have run this whole meeting in 10 minutes and then doing it for 3 hours. It's a total waste of my time. So try to listen in to what people are saying and try to hear a lesson in the Avodas Hashem. Try to find the remez that Hashem is, hear something different than what's actually being spoken. It's an important technique to develop. Again, the biggest tzaddikim do it with the greatest ease. They hear God in everything. They see God in everything. But we can practice it also. We can try it also. My wife sent me to the farmer's market on Friday to pick up 2 items for her. I paid with a $20 bill and my change was $12.02. So I came home, I said to my wife, I said, I got $12.02 change. She's like, that's nice. I was like, no, 1202. She's like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I said, Bereishis Bara Elokim is Gematria 1202. She's like, okay, great. Can I have my vegetables? Like, I'm trying to cook for Shabbos and lighting's at 4:15, you know, like, I don't have time for this. Right? But you can try, okay, it's a silly little thing, you know. Or you could say, I don't know, wow, you know. I found God in a little receipt and some change at the supermarket. Right? But that's the goal, to try to find Hashem in everything. So sometimes, again, a tzaddik is sitting amongst people, umedaber imahem kama dvarim gashmiim, and they're talking about very regular things. They're talking about how many points James Harden had last night. Right? V'sipurim, stories. You know, what's happening in the news, what's happening in the stock market, what's the weather going to be like on Wednesday this week? It's supposed to rain, it's supposed to snow. People talking about very regular things. Shekafia nirahim dvarim betalim, which, again, as they appear superficially, they're very, very regular things, varim betalim, unimportant things. Uve'emes ha-tzadik ha-hu she-yoshev hu davak machshavto ba-Hashem. And the tzadik is hearing all sorts of words of godliness contained within those words. The way that Rabbi Nachman used to describe how he enjoyed spending more time with the maskilim than he did with his own chassidim. Why? Because the chassidim, they were trying to speak Torah. He said, okay. But by the people who didn't even realize what they were saying, Rabbi Nachman was hearing all sorts of different things. He used to push away his chassidim and he would spend time with all these very strange people. And even though the words as spoken on the surface, right, again, are irrelevant words, are not important words, are wasted breath. But he, this individual who's connected to Hashem, he hears within it all sorts of spiritual lessons and teachings. He finds ruchnias in it. And the same thing is true for all the stories of the world. The tzaddikim want to know, what's happening in the world? Tell me what's happening in the news. And then they could read the newspaper and they would interpret all sorts of things, right? Spiritual things. That the sipurei ha'olam shemesaprim lefanam medabrim imo b'chol inyanim, who mistakil tamid in yanim kedoshim ba'osan adiburim, to find spiritual matters contained within those words. Who knows the story of Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld on the bank? Probably told it 1,000 times. I don't know if I told it 1,000 times here. Who knows it? Show of hands. You know it? Anyone else not? Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld once went to the bank. Got a call from the bank. Rabbi, we need you to come in to talk about the yeshiva's account. All right. Something's up with the account. So he comes to the bank, walks into the bank. He's with one of his talmidim, Rabbi Freifeld, the founder of Shari Yashiv. Walks into the bank, comes over to the woman, the female teller at the front desk. He says, "Hi, Shlomo Freifeld. I got a call. They need to speak to me." So she says, "Oh, Rabbi Freifeld, it's so nice to meet you." She had spoken to him on the phone many times. She never met him before. So she said, "Oh, Rabbi Freifeld, it's so nice to finally meet you in person. To be honest, Rabbi, I didn't picture you to be such a big man." He's very tall, Rabbi Freifeld. It's like a weird thing to say, but she kind of like blurted out, you know, like, "Oh, I didn't picture you." Rabbi Freifeld had a very towering appearance. So this little bank teller, "Oh, I didn't, okay. That's so nice to finally, you know, put a face to a name. Okay. Nice to meet you." So she says, "The manager of the bank is up on the second floor. He made a note that he wants to speak to you directly." Okay. So Rabbi Freifeld and his Talmud, they go upstairs. They sit down with the manager of the bank. He says, "Rabbi Freifeld, you know, we've been watching the yeshiva's account, and I know, you know, payroll's coming up and this and that. And it looks like your account is a little bit short. This month, it looks like your account's a little bit short. So Freifeld turns to his Talmud and he says, did you hear that? So the Talmud says, yeah, Rebbe, I better do a fundraiser, you know? Yeshiva car wash or something, you know? I gotta make some money, sell cookies, I don't know. So he says, no, but did you hear what just happened? Yeah, Rebbe, yeshiva needs money. No. You didn't hear? I didn't hear, Rebbe. I guess I didn't hear. He said, downstairs, they tell me that I'm a big man. But now we came upstairs and they tell me that I'm a little bit short. He said, how many people in this world, you know, and downstairs in this world, you think you're a big shot. You come to the Olam HaEmes and they say your account's a little bit short. You could have done a few more mitzvahs. You could have learned a few more pages of Gemara, you know. Could have made it to Shachar some time, a few more times. He thought you were a big shot. He thought you were a big person downstairs. But upstairs, you're like, okay, sorry. Freifeld heard something that most people didn't hear, right? Talmud only heard the superficial conversation. So that's what the Dagon Machan Ephraim is talking about here. It's possible for a person, again, to look at anything that a person sees in this world. This is a klal in the Baal Shem Tov's teachings. To be able to reinterpret it, to hear something more. To identify something different. Yeah? V'chein b'chol sipurei olam shemesaprim lefanav. Again, every story that's being told, world events, anything. Hu mistakil tamid in yanim kedoshim b'osan adiburim. Like I heard from my grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov. Leader, that which the nations of the world sing songs, leader in Yiddish means songs, b'chulam heim b'chinas yira v'ava b'spashtus mi'eila letata b'cholam adregos hatachtonim. Right? You can listen to a song on the radio, and if you listen to the words, you can find Kilo Hashem is speaking to. Right? The songs that they sing of Ava and Yira, right? Love songs. You can reinterpret them to find something more. Simchas Torah, 1973, the Lubavitch Rebbe took the French national anthem and he turned it, as known as the French for banging, he turned it into, he made the words Haderes V'Amuna, the Chai Olam. I mean, he turned a song which represented freedom from religion, and he turned it into a song singing the praises of Hashem. He took the same niggun, he transformed it into a davar shel kedusha. And there are many stories, many tzaddikim throughout history took goyish songs and were able to transform them into something more. Right? But even if you're not going to, take that, niggun off of the radio and turn it into a song to be sung on Shabbos. Right? But when you hear it, when you're walking down the street and a car drives by and they're blasting some song out the window, right? If you happen to hear the words, think, I don't know, what's Hashem saying to me? Yeah, hopefully it's not too explicit. Yeah, but you figure it out. You figure out what Hashem is saying. Anyone know the song, Carry On My Wayward Son? Know that song? Yeah. That song? I was once talking to a kid in high school. This goes back probably 10 years ago. I was talking to this kid who was like really struggling with religious issues and he was like ready to, he was like in his off the derech stage, and some car drove by, like blast, Carry On My Wayward Son. I was like, oh, here you go, shuvu banim shovavim, keep on trucking, go weiter, that's what the song is saying. You think you're a wayward, but you're a wayward son. Shuvu banim shovavim, you're still banim atam Hashem lokechem, carry on, my wayward son. Hashem is saying to you, don't give up on yourself. You can still be a yid. It's important. So the Baal Shem Tov says, everything you see, everything you hear, is a message from Hashem. No, so how does it connect to the Pasuk? Look at this. V'zeh yesh lomar, shemarum is v'pasuk, v'yera elav Hashem be'elonei mamre. So he says, elonei, right, again, letters of the word ilan, trees, what are trees? People are sometimes compared to trees. Ki adam eitz asada. So hainu, b'nei adam, al derech ki adam eitz asada. So elonei mamre could mean what? The trees, but before we were learning the rebellious tree, we were learning about Chet Eitz Hadas. But now he's saying rebellious trees means what? Mamre lashon sorer umore, like the ben sorer umore. Hainu afilu ba'osim b'nei adam shehem b'dibura mamrim la'ashem yisbach. Right? Elonei mamre means people sometimes compared to trees, people who what? Who are mamrim, people who rebel against Hashem. V'heim resha'im. Afal pichen v'yeira elav daika. The afka to him being the tzaddik, Hashem appears. Right? They could be saying something anti-God, and the tzaddik hears something in praise of God. The way Rabbi Nachman writes in a small Torah, in Likutei Moran, that when you ask questions on Hashem, you're actually giving a praise to Hashem. Sometimes people ask questions as a way of rebelling against Hashem. Like, God, you don't make any sense. Rabbi Nachman says, when you do that, Hashem says, Shkayach, it's a big praise. What? I'm not trying to praise you, I'm trying to rebel against you. Hashem says, no, it's a big praise. By asking a question, what are you admitting? You're admitting you don't understand Hashem. In other words, you're admitting that Hashem is much greater than you. That's why you don't understand Hashem. Right? So Hashem has the ability, and a tzaddik has the ability, to look at someone's words, even rebellious words, and turn it into something holy. So that's Vayera Elav Hashem, Be'elonei Mamre. Avram, so to speak, is sitting amongst the Elonei Mamre, amongst the heretics, like Rabbi Nachman with the Maskilim, but Vayera Elav Hashem. But to him, and only to him, Hashem appears. To them, they're saying things which are Mamash Dvarim B'Telem. But who Roe Tamir Hashem Yisbarach Ben Yana Mahim? But he sees Hashem, Dafke, in those very things. I mentioned on Shabbos that the Nazis Yimach Shemam, I read in Sefer, I was reading on the plane back from Eretz Yisrael, the Nazis Yimach Shemam used to say it was a big mitzvah, right? They made it their mitzvah to kill Jews. It was a mitzvah. They made a kiilu, it was mamish, they were doing a great thing for, you know, it was almost a God-given mission to destroy the vermin, the Jewish people, the lowly Jewish people, to remove them from the world. That was their mitzvah. So there was a tzaddik who said, what the Nazis didn't understand is that it was really a mitzvah, it was a huge mitzvah. They made it the biggest mitzvah. It was the biggest mitzvah. When a Jew dies, al kiddush Hashem, that is the biggest mitzvah. That's not what the Nazis had in mind, right? They didn't think the Jews were doing the mitzvah. We're doing the mitzvah, getting rid of the Jews. They didn't realize that when they were calling it such a, it was a great command, a great obligation, right? The greatest sacrifice that a Jew could do is give his life, al kiddush Hashem. So it was a big mitzvah. They were facilitating a big mitzvah. Not the mitzvah, chas v'shalom, of killing Jews, but the Jews were being mekayim the mitzvah of what? Of dying, al kiddush Hashem. Like Rabbi Akiva said, my whole life I'm waiting to fulfill that mitzvah. In fact, in one of the concentration camps, the Nazis put, they took a paroches, right, they took a parochas from an aron, and they hung it over the entranceway to one of the gas chambers. And on the parochas it says, Zeh shar la Hashem tzadikim yavo vo. What was the Nazi intent? How did they understand that? They thought, this way, as Jews are going to their death, and they see that, right, Zeh, this is the path, this is the gate to Hashem. For tzadikim, they would look at it and they would be disgusted by it. They'd say, where's God now? Right? The Nazis were hoping it would be, in their dying breath, they would look at that with such disgust and hate God for putting them in this situation, and you know, be kofar be'ikr in their dying moments. But the truth is, many Jews looked at that sign and got chizik from it, and they said, the Nazis don't realize what they're doing. This is mamish shar la Hashem tzadikim yavovo. A Jew who dies with kiddush Hashem is a tzaddik. The Shema goes to the highest levels. So instead of it, you know, the Nazis had one intent, but many Jews were able to look at it and to actually to find strength and to be able to scream out Shema Yisrael by looking at that. Right? So someone could have a wicked intent, and someone with the eyes of a tzaddik, va'ameich kulam tzaddikim, that's all of us, we could see something else. And that's what it means. V'hu rak elav v'lo lahem. V'yera elav Hashem. Hashem appeared to Avram. Ki hu amro v'hu yoshev. He's yoshev where? Hainu af shehu yoshev imahem ke'echad mehem. Even though Avram is sitting with them. Right? The way the simcha bunim of Peshischa used to go around to like the local bars and places where people were, and he would try to hear words of Hashem. Rabbi Nachman, many tzaddikim did this. Mikol makom hu lashonistar shehu behester v'helim ba'olam ha'machshava pesach ha'oel, as it says in the Zohar, da yira. Right, meaning even though Avram was yoshev with the Elonei Mamre, with the rebels, who, in a hidden way, in his own mind, he was yoshev pesach ha'oel. He was sitting at the entrance to what the Zohar calls the Pesach Ha'o, means Yira, that he was Davak to Hashem, Biyira Hashemayim. Okay? Now, it's just to finish the piece. Kechom Hayom. What does Kechom Hayom mean? So now the Degel says an amazing thing. Like the heat of the day. Again, the Pasha Pshat is Avram is sitting at the entrance of his tent while the sun is shining bright. But says the Degel Machan Ephraim, what is Kechom Hayom? Hainu Kemo Chom Hashemesh. Just like the sun, listen to this. Kamo chom Hashem eshuhu mechamim hayom. Just like the sun, when it shines upon the world, can accomplish opposite things at the same time. Look at this example. Shtei bechinos, the chom ayom has the ability to do different things simultaneously. Derech mashal, im ha'adam shoteach pishton get Hashem shalabno. If a person puts pishton flat out in the sun in order to what? To whiten it in the sun, the rays of the sun cause it to turn into a white color by drying it out. Va'oz al yedei hachom nislabin. Through the sun, right? Something which was more of a brownish color becomes whitened. Ula adam chom hashemesh mashchiro. And yet the sun on your skin doesn't whiten your skin, it darkens your skin. So how could the sun do two opposite things at the same time? How could it take the flax or whatever product you put out in the field and whiten it, while at the same time the sun is making you darker? So does the sun have the ability to make things lighter or darker? But says the Degel Acher Efrayim, that's a mashal. It's a beautiful mashal. Right? So Avraham is being Yoshe Pesach Ha'ol with the Elon Mamre. Avraham sitting amongst the rebels and hearing different things than they're actually saying. Hearing the Dvar Hashem. When they're talking Dvar B'Teilem, that is Kechom Ayom. It has the inverse effect. It has the opposite properties, like the sun itself. Al derech tzadikim yelchubam, like the Pasuk says in Hosea, the tzadikim walk in them, the same path that the tzadik is walking upon. Hainu leposhim rishaam yikashlubam, is the same path that the Rasha is stumbling upon. So which is it? Is it a path towards God, or is it a path to stumble away from God? It depends on your perspective. Sheovim al v'dibartabam, right? They are speaking pointless words, a violation of what the Gemara says, v'dibartabam v'lo b'dvarim b'teilim, that our life should be filled with meaningful conversations. V'dibartabam, speak words of Torah. Everything can be Torah. Every word you say could be a Torah. Right? Regular words could also be divinely inspired, can be filled with religious content, whether it's revealed or concealed, but it's there. Aval tzadikim heim yelchu bam, the tzadikim are able to walk bam in the way of a dibarta bam. Hainu hadiburim haheim heim mamish medabrim b'torah v'avodas Hashem yisparach. Again, the tzadik tries to learn a lesson of Torah, of godliness, from every word that's spoken around him or by him. Ki machshavto dvuka tamid l'sharsho makor, because he's always connected to Hashem. V'zeh lehem libun kesheleg yalbinu. Again, like the sun that whitens. White, of course, represents purity and holiness, like the sun that whitens the pishtan. Hainu shemochim moshchem aleihem mida shel chesed b'chinas libun. It brings the kindness of Hashem upon them, the whitening of the sun. But to the Rishaim, it only makes their lives darker and blacker. Right, the darkened colors. And the tzaddik is the exact opposite experience. So it's an amazing idea that a person, again, should never look at himself in a situation and say, this situation, you know, it's just, I'm surrounded by negative influences. I can't find any positive here. If a person is able to develop an eye towards these things, you can darshan anything, you can mahapich anything. It's part of that same mahalich of sur meira v'ase tov, to take something which is superficially ra and to make it into something good. Okay? I just want to read you one lashon he has here in the middle of one of the pieces, just the end of one of the pieces. He says, just to get a taste of our Rebbe's, you know, loftiness, he writes at the end of one of the pieces, Hashem yitein li kawach lahasig nevlois mitorah. So Hashem should give me the strength to understand all the wonders of the Torah. V'yitein li kawach lahalos al aksav kol torasi. And Hashem should give me the strength to write down all of my chidushim. I guess I have so much to share, I want to share so badly. V'yikamayim David ni'im zmiras Yisrael agura bo'alecha olamim. That Mama should put a tefillah for himself, that Hashem should help me to be able to express all the things that I want to express. Just go to the last piece in the parasha, and we'll end with this. We'll learn a little halacha. Vayikra sham b'shem Hashem kel olam. You see it, the last piece? You have it in your edition? Tiny little piece. Vayikra sham b'shem Hashem kel olam. He called out there in the name of Hashem kel olam. Al derech sheshamati. I'd like to explain, based on what I've heard. In the footnote of my edition, he quotes a Kedushas Levi as explaining this idea in Parshas Ve'aschana. Let's see, what's the idea? The Pasuk says, Har'enu Hashem chasdecha. Show me Hashem your kindness. Show me Hashem your kindness. Right? What does it mean, show me Hashem your kindness? One of the basic principles, if you open up the Eitz Chaim, the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, the Torah of the Arizal, to the very beginning of the Eitz Chaim, where he expounds reasons as to why Hashem created the world. And you find it also in Sifrei, Machshava, of Jewish philosophy, not only Kabbalah. But one of the classic explanations as to why Hashem created the world is what? Is that it's the nature of one who is entirely good to want to bestow that goodness upon others. In other words, everything Hashem does is good. But some good is more easily recognized, and some good is much more concealed. Right? That's why we daven in the morning in Brachos, we say Hashem should perform gomel chasadim tovim. We ask Hashem to perform chasadim tovim, as opposed to what? Chasadim not tovim? What are kindnesses that are not tov? The answer is, right? Sometimes there's a chesed, which is be'emes a chesed, you didn't get the job, and it's mamash a chesed Hashem that you didn't get the job, or the girl broke up with you, and it's a chesed Hashem that didn't work out, right? But you're heartbroken. You feel, you feel the ra of it. And Hashem, who knows the bigger picture, says, I'm telling you, it's a chesed in disguise, right? So explain the Berditchever, again, who was writing a little bit after the Degel Machan Ephraim, but the same you saw it on this pasuk. Hareinu Hashem chazdecha. Hashem, show me your chesed. What does it mean, show me your chesed? Let it be the type of chesed that is what? That is identifiable. That I see as chesed. Let it be chasadim tovim. Let it be the type of chesed, right? As people sometimes say, revealed good. Everything is good. But Hashem should bless you with revealed good. Good that you're able to identify yourself. Like the Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Samach Amid Beis, Rabbi Akiva was machadish the concept that everything Hashem does is for the best. It's even a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, as we mentioned one time, in Siman Reish Lamed. Shulchan Aruch brings la halacha, a Jew has to train himself to say, Kol ma da avid rachmana letav avid. That everything Hashem does is for the best. We know that. But David HaMelech davened in Tehillim Pehei, Hareinu Hashem Chasdecha. Hashem, I want to see your chesed. I want to be able to see it with my eyes. Hainu Shia Nigle Li HaChesed. I want to be able to identify it. I don't want my whole life to be a guessing game where I have to, with my faith, I have to say, I know that everything is for the best, but this really stinks. I wish this situation would go away. Right? Hashem, I want revealed good. I want good that's easily appreciated in my life. And that's what the pasuk means. That's what our pasuk means. Right? That's the meaning of David HaMelech's Hareinu Hashem Chazdecha, but it's also the meaning of our pasuk. Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. What was this tefillah? What does it mean? Vayikra Sham Avraham B'Shem Hashem. Avraham called in the name of Hashem. Hainu Shaya Nigla Lo Hamshachas Kel. Hainu Chesed Olam Shaya Behela Mimenu. Kel, the name Aleph Lamed, is associated with Chesed in a lot of different places. It's associated with the sphere of Chesed and with the concept of Chesed. So Avram called out to Hashem that Kel Olam. What does Olam mean? What is the Olam? He'elam means concealment, right? So Avram called, or so to speak, invited to Hashem. Hashem, I want Hashem, which itself is the name of Chesed. I want Kel Olam. I want to see the Chesed in the Olam. Olam means in that which is hidden. I don't want to just, know that Hashem, you're hiding somewhere within it. But I want Kel Olam. I want to see the Chesed of that which is hidden. I want it to be revealed good. I want to be able to identify your kindness in my life. And that's okay to ask, right? On the one hand, you could think, maybe it's better to not always know how Hashem runs the world, right? But we bless each other for revealed good. And we bless each other that we have the strength that when things are not looking so good, that we're still able to say, Ani ma'amin b'emuna shlema, that kol ma da'avid rachmana letav avid. That whatever Hashem does is for the best, even if I don't yet understand it. But again, Avram davened Hashem, my life shouldn't be filled with struggles where I'm trying to guess and figure out how you're there every step of the way, but I want to be able to see you in my life. Okay? All right, some nice Torahs. Glad we were able to catch up. Shkoyach. Good stuff.